to welcome everyone back to our service this evening. We're going to talk about some verses from the book of James in chapter 1, verses 2 through verse 4. There it said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, maybe you've seen the bumper sticker that said, "When life hands you a lemon, make lemonade." You know, it's easier to smile at that statement than to practice it. But the basic philosophy of that statement is a very sound statement. In fact, it's biblical. Throughout the Bible, there are examples of people who turn defeat into victory and trials into triumph. And instead of being victims, they were victors. The letter of James tells us that we can have this same experience today. Whether we're dealing with trials on the outside or if we're dealing with temptations on the inside, through faith in God and Jesus Christ, we can experience victory. Today we find ourselves in a world of chaos. And in Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, I have a footnote in my Bible next to that verse. That footnote says, "People worry too much about the condition of the world when they should be concerned about the salvation of their souls." This afternoon, we're going to talk just a little bit about the proper attitude, the right perspective that we should have concerning the trials, the temptations, and the tribulations that we experience today because of the chaos and the things that are going on around us. Before we begin, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through verse 10, there it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And in Hebrews 13 and verse 14, there it says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." Abraham was a pilgrim in a strange land. And a pilgrim is someone who leaves his home and travels to a specific destination. A pilgrim isn't a drifter. A pilgrim has a goal. And Abraham's goal was a city which has foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. It's God's heavenly city. This evening we find ourselves in a strange land as pilgrims, just passing through. We too are to live like tent dwellers, as pilgrims on this earth. We should live as people who have their permanent dwelling place in heaven and not here on earth. Temptations, trials, and tribulations all around us. And James tells us, count it all joy. Many times the right use of afflictions is more valuable to us than the removal of that particular affliction. The text says, count it all joy when, not if, you fall into various trials. This is because Christians must expect trials, temptations, and tribulations. And because of this, Jesus said in John 16 in verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If God doesn't see fit to remove the affliction, then we can only think that the right use of this affliction must be of some value. If it is because of some affliction that we only have grief and sorrow, and there is an occasion of sinning, or a stumbling, or a faltering, but we see no profit and blessing, then we must have missed some opportunity. The opportunity may have been growing through the resistance of sin, or it may be as in the example of Christ, to prepare us to have sympathy and compassion for others who are suffering, as many are suffering today. Or it may be as in the example of the Apostle Paul, that we learn the importance of depending upon God's grace. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith." For us to know that God's grace is enough, the affliction, the trial, or the temptation might give us such an understanding of the grace of God as to make us far more effective as teachers or as workers in the Lord's army. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, "You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." There is a book entitled A Chain of Jewels from James to Jude by a fellow by the name of Donald Freeme. He said, "Intense pressure on common carbon makes diamonds. Concerning God's grace, the trial of one grace may produce another grace of even more value. While producing patience in you, God may be producing a diamond for this darkened world. And through the trial of your faith, he may form one of the most valuable diamonds in his kingdom. God's ability to do the impossible through the most unlikely subjects is a continual and amazing demonstration of his grace in molding and making us." No wonder we're asked to look upon these afflictions as nothing but joy. God allows our faith to be tested, and he expects us to be approved when the testing is completed. Proving here has the meaning, has that particular meaning. It is the endurance in this trial of our faith that results in developing this attitude to hang on. Patience is not the word that means to wait. It is the concept of hanging on with a grip that will not let go. It is much more than long suffering and has no connection with a humble submission to any circumstance. It is the attitude, "I shall not be moved." We read in Psalm 16 in verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." If we continue to hold out under all circumstances, literally, the word patient means to hold out under. It means without wavering, but hanging on till the very end. Then patience will have its complete and perfect work. When we bear all that God has appointed us, and we not only bear troubles, but we rejoice in them, then patience has had its perfect work, and we become more mature spiritually. And the result will be our gaining approval and being purified as with a trial of fire. It will result in the gaining of the crown of life. James 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Its results will be that we shall gain all spiritual blessings and heavenly promises that God has in store for us. Patience, the holding out under trials and tribulations, can be said to be closely connected with our will. We choose to hang on. And without this continuous spirit of steadfastness, it is unlikely that we will finish the course. For both the temptation of the devil and the circumstances of this life are very much against one who is unable to hang on until the end without being led astray. May God give us strength. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." James is not saying here that the temptation is good, and he's not saying that it is a pleasure. But when the result of the trial or the temptation is successful, we look upon it as if it were a joy. The temptation to sin should still be avoided, as we should still avoid even the appearance of sin. But Satan will see to it that we are not successful in our effort to avoid every temptation. Because we read in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When it cannot be avoided, then we should look to Christ with a view to the end when he shall say to us, "Well done." There are other kinds of sufferings that we may face that we may not necessarily be temptations, or they may not be a temptation for us to sin. But these two are temptations by the very fact that our suffering is involved. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." James 1:13-14. "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his desires and enticed." You know, maybe it's possible on Judgment Day that we will realize as never before that every sin that we have committed is of our own doing, and that we have absolutely no room for blaming God for even the circumstance that led us to sin. These very circumstances are God's efforts to make us grow and to become approved and not to make us sin. Knowing this, it should give us the strength to overcome the trials and the temptations of this life. Think of it. If every sin we committed, if every temptation that we had, if we considered that these were our own and there were not because God has sent a temptation, if we realize that these are our own and that the reason we have these is to increase our faith and to give us strength, spiritual strength, in living a Christian life. In closing, here is the key to counting it all joy when we fall into various trials. That is having the knowledge and the perspective that temptations, trials, and tribulations can accomplish much good. Enduring with patience the adversity so that it may accomplish the work that it is intended to accomplish. And as we strive to overcome by depending upon the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gives us in answer to prayer to help us put it all together. When this is done, even trials can be a source of joy to us. There was a man that said, "In truth, without afflictions, there is no life." If there is one that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come as we stand and sing.